All right, Googans, go get you some. That's going to do it for the drill here on the Monday morning. The Monday morning quarterback, as always, brought to you by our friends at Brumos Lexus of Jacksonville, Brumos Lexus of Orange Park, the Jaguar discussion, analysis, and, as sometimes the case will be, arguments. Continue now with Jaguars Today, live from the stadium. Hello, boys.
Spirited discussion, Jeff.
Sure. Is that what it is? Yeah, that, it's semantics. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I expect there to be a lot of it. The post-game show was spirited.
Yeah, I heard some of that. Yeah, I did.
Yesterday.
Yeah, well, look, at least there's a little bit of spirit, you know, after week one, a little more spirit than 28-2 at home a year ago. It's frustrating sometimes just to measure yourself in improvement because ultimately it's wins and losses. But I would rather take the 16-game sample before I determine how much improvement has been made than to suddenly forget that the Philadelphia game may be the toughest game on the entire schedule. So, you know,
maybe,
you know,
but it is tough, man. I mean, look, the NFL has that rhythm to the week and it builds up towards Sunday. And if you're a fan, that's, you know, like the high holy day of the sports calendar, and you watch your team, you only get 16 opportunities. And I do think, you know, it's great in the off season to take the long term picture. I think it's tough to tell fans in the midst of a season that, I'll put that loss aside and let's look at it in 16.
I guess my argument to that would be we're not in the midst yet. We're just in the initial stages. And, they remind me, Demps, yesterday's game to me reminds me of the college football program who has a coach like, say, Bobby Bowden, who set this incredible standard. And then when he gets to the point where he's only 8-5, he's, you know, he's quote terrible. That they were a victim of the first half standard they set. And they gave us all this hope of, you know, not just win, but dominating a quality team. If they, you know, if the game plays out different on the scoreboard and it ends 27-17, or even 34-17 with a late, score, you know, maybe it would feel different. But at the end of the day, I don't care who you are. If you say you got a 17-0 lead at halftime, you got to win, not just play well. And so it was the way they dominated and played in the first half and really even still left points out there. I think that made it, makes it tougher today. It makes the reaction harsher.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Jeff. I mean, you've got a situation where you had a chance to be up, but as we all talked about before the show, there were also a lot of red flags. They hadn't converted on third down. So if you're really watching it with sort of an objective eye, you sort of realize there's some holes there, but fans aren't going to watch it that way.
Correct. And that's why they're fans, and that's what makes
the game
popular, and that's fine, and that's fair. And I think this week, as often happens in the NFL, but particularly early in the season, you know, you can make it a whole lot better by going and you know, not just playing well, but winning a game on the road next week, a game that would at least seem to be winnable. So, all right, we've got the ball rolling, and it will continue to roll and gain steam, and it continues now with the Jaguars Today. Have a good one, boys.
Thanks, Jeff. You've been drilled. Jeff and Dan, weekday morning, 6 to 10 here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, and we've got John Osier from Jaguars.com. Mike Dempsey along with Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today starts right now.
Back to throw is Young. Has time. Pocket collapsing. Now turns to Barnes. Intercepted. Darius has got it at the 30. He's on the run at the 25. Darius outside 20. At the 15. At the 10. Inside. Darius doubles. Gets on his feet at the 5. And forces his way to the 1. Oh my goodness. Donovan Darius fighting all the way to the 1-yard line. There's the snap. Pressure is coming. Marino is going to be hit. The ball is on the field. The Jaguars have recovered the fumble by Dan Marino.
Tony Brockett finally at the end of the game does his thing, strips Marino, and knocks the ball loose. Welcome back, Tony.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
All right, glad you're with us here. We got the Ozone in the studio. Monday, we're moving you all around, man. We just flip you around the dial.
I think it's fitting that we're here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday.
Do you?
It's gonna be that kind of Monday.
Do you think we're gonna have? Will there be shots fired?
Maybe shots
metaphorically
fired.
This morning, at least. You know what? Monday's your chance, certainly, to sound off, Jag fans, at 641-1010, and we'll take plenty of your calls throughout the course of the next 2 hours, and also encourage you to tweet us on a variety of Jaguar-related subjects, at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, and at 1010XL Fat Tony, of course, at 1010XL Lauren as well. And the fan feedback spotlight today asks, what or who is the biggest single culprit in this game.
Blame. I like it. Let's have some blame.
Yes. Mike. Well, that's what we do. And we was now look, had the Jags won, we'd be asking who is most responsible for the success. Yeah. So we're willing to embrace the positivity, John, but
blame is a big ozone theme today, Mike.
Well, it's 17 to nothing. You got to point the finger. Any guesses where the finger's being pointed most frequently?
Oh, I got a feeling it'll probably be pointed where it's usually pointed. Right?
What?
At me.
At you? Is it you? Is it Osier's fault? I don't think so.
I tried to blame Tony, but he wouldn't pick up the phone last
night. Chad Henne getting a lot of the blame heaped upon him this morning, and you certainly are welcome to weigh in on that as a Jags fan out there. Tony, we talked about this yesterday, but Tony made up the point to you before the show. Look, you're in the game in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It's a 17-all game in the fourth quarter. You're in the game with 6 minutes to play. Had you gone into it and you said, hey, Jag fans, will you take Chad Henne throwing for 200 and some odd yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions? You're in the football game in the fourth quarter. The defense has produced five sacks. You're up 3-0 in the turnover margin at the time. And you got a ball game on the road here, and you've knocked Nick Foles around to the point where Mark Sanchez is warming up. And it was a question of, was he going to come in due to injury or simple ineffectiveness in the first half? That's how bad your defense made him look. But we all know. I mean, yes, if you remove yourself, you probably would have taken that, and let's see what happens. And then what happened wasn't good from that point on. But when you're in there, I totally get it. When you're up 17-0, we're like, what would Vegas put the odds right now at the half of the Jags winning this football game? What percentage of time would an NFL team win the game when they're up 17-0 at the half and clearly outplaying the other team as much as they had in the first half? We thought it'd probably be over 90%.
It would, and that's on the surface, as we talked about during crosstalk. But yet underneath, there was sort of a nagging thing of, they're not running the ball. Which is what you sort of think if you're up 17-0, you're going to need not to just run. You're not going to grind out the clock an entire second half in this league. But if you can run, you can get into second and six and then third and three and have convertible situations. They weren't doing that. And they hadn't, as a result of not running, they hadn't converted a third down. So those are the things that sort of give you a solid feeling on paper when you're looking at the halftime stats and you're trying to figure out what's going on with the game. If you've got those things, you feel good about it. If you don't, you're wondering, are you really controlling things where you need to control them? They weren't, and then once things started to go kind of slippery in the second half, they didn't really have an answer for it. So, I always fall into the trap. I look at the big picture. I try to see where the franchise is going. And as you said, people don't want to hear that the morning after a loss.
And I don't blame them.
And I wouldn't want to hear it either.
Right. I mean, I'll disagree with Jeff in that. To me, the midst of the season, we're in the midst of the season.
We're in the midst, baby.
It flies by so quickly. Yep. You know, and we've spent months on this program talking every single day about all the building and all this stuff that's going on. Well, you get to play those Sundays, what it all points to. And so you had an opportunity. You're up 17-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game you feel, and I would expect, I thought Gene Furnett's column was very good. Jags should be pissed. All right. The player, the team should be pissed at the opportunity they let get away from them. I would imagine that they are.
Yeah. I mean, and they should be. And because the opportunity was there. And yet at the same time, I think the things that we harped on for a couple of weeks leading into this game, young wide receiver core, young offensive line that wasn't quite coming together, the things we thought might be trouble spots, I thought showed up pretty big time at crucial moments. And as I told somebody this morning, I think a developed, mature team wins that game. The Jaguars aren't that yet.
Let me ask you this. Because this is the sentiment. And I do understand where it comes from. You know, the sentiment is, if we're going to lose.
Right.
Let's lose with the young guy and let him take his lumps and get him out of the way. It's an impossible question to answer accurately, but your best guess, would the outcome have been any different if number 5 was playing quarterback yesterday as opposed to number 7?
I don't think so, because I don't know that. I'm not sure Blake throws the ball any better on some of those catches that were missed in the second half, and they were awfully important. I don't know in the first half, it's hard to say what plays you get into, what decisions get made. It's easy to say, yeah, Bortles would have completed two more passes in the second half, a first down around the clock, and you get the game. I don't think that game's that much different with Bortles in it, but, you know, who knows?
And it's an impossible question to answer. For all you know, Blake Bortles throws two first half pick sixes. And
for the record, I wouldn't mind seeing Blake Bortles play. I really wouldn't.
None of us in this room
right.
would, okay?
But from their perspective, and this is what I was trying to figure out on the way in this morning, trying to think through, was there anything in that game, if you believed, and the Jaguars coaches do, that they're not yet ready as an offense for Blake to play and that he's not quite ready to lead an offense that's not around him ready for him to play? Did yesterday's performance by Henny, was it atrocious, awful enough to change your mind? And when you look at it, I don't think it was. So there's not going to be a quarterback change this week. So if you're sitting around waiting for that.
Oh, that's pretty evident.
Then no. So what happened yesterday is not enough to change that story.
I would agree with that. Now,
or even really close to it.
Look, and I've said this for a while. I've said this throughout the summer. There's almost a willingness or a want for Chad Henne to fail so miserably because it will speed up the process in fans' minds to get Blake Bortles in. And I even understand that as a fan. If you're a long-suffering fan, I mean, you want the new thing. Look, let's get it in there. Let's get him up to speed.
Right.
What can he learn sitting on the sideline? It's interesting. I know every position is different.
There also, there weren't a lot of guys running wide open in the second half.
Either. No.
Receivers did not play as well in the second half as they did the first.
And you said, talking to Jeff Logman, you asked him, you know, what's going on with the passing game in the second half, and that was his observation from on high.
Right, he didn't say Henny played perfectly now. I mean, they were
not.
An elite, high-level quarterback, maybe that's different. But in terms of what they had done in the first half, there were not the opportunities there in the second half as there were the first.
Yeah, the point I was going to make, like, I know it's different in every position. Tony and I were just talking about Jarvis Jones last week, right? Jarvis Jones.
I was here then.
Were you, was that the day you were
at? Okay.
Led the SEC in sacks 2 years in a row. Barely was active on game day for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year and may have been inactive on some game days. Came in yesterday, started for them, had a sack, two tackles for loss and played a pretty good all around game. And, you know, people say, well, what can you learn sitting on the bench? Well, clearly, quarterback, and I'm not saying it's the same exact thing as linebacker, but sometimes you can learn you can develop in practice and, you know, doing different things and understanding the concept. We'll talk more about this,
right.
But think about this as we break here.
I will.
I know you will. Think, is who gives the team the best chance to win right now? And is it a question of winning this week, or is it a question of how much is the equation? Let's put Blake in a situation where we eventually put him in where we don't feel like he's constantly going to get pummeled on third and long. He's going to constantly face an uphill scenario with this football team. So how much is it about his development? How much is it about the development around him? And let's talk about this game yesterday up in Philadelphia. 641-1010, Jag fans. Your chance to weigh in coming right now. Yeah, we've seen the video, by the way, of Ray Rice turned all of our stomachs. As what else did you expect happen in that elevator? And, you know, there's apparently, if you haven't seen it, by the way, it's just disgusting. Ray Rice, cold cocks his then fiance in the face, and maybe even worse than that, after she hits her head on the railing in the elevator, gets knocked out cold, doesn't even show the slightest tinge of, oh my goodness, what have I just done? He kicks her with his foot, is she really out cold? Nudges her. And the only time he touched her is when the door opened. He pulled her to the corner because he thought someone was coming in and he wanted to make room for them in the elevator. So, classy guy. By the way, the hotel apparently has shut down now. It's out of business now. I don't know if it's related to this, but TMZ said a former employee of the hotel claims he knows for a fact that the NFL saw the inside the elevator video before they, put down the two-game punishment
on Ray
Rice.
The league is releasing a statement now basically saying they did not see that video.
And do they not understand that a video existed?
I don't know.
And what a colossal catastrophe of failure by Roger Goodell. And afterwards, oh yeah, I realize I made a mistake. What? When everyone in the civilized world pointed it out to you on a daily basis, I mean, did you really... What was your justification to begin with in the first place? Anyway, this makes me sick.
I don't know.
So we won't belabor it too much, but the video's all over the internet if you want to see it, or if you don't, ignore it. 641-1010. We'll get your calls rolling coming up next. A Monday reaction opportunity for you here. Mike Dempsey with John Osier, Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, folks. Mike Dempsey here for FanDuel.com. Week one of the NFL season. You know what? We think we have it all figured out. We think we know everything that's going to happen, which guys are going to shine, which guys are going to fail miserably. And then they play the games and we find out we're not always right. Well, the great thing about FanDuel is you can play fantasy football and you can switch it up every single week. Don't get locked in. Maybe you drafted Ben Tate. Uh-oh, he was running well. He went out with a knee injury yesterday. It's okay. It doesn't cripple your fantasy season. You don't have to carry him on your roster. Just pick a complete new one this week. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And when you do, enter my first name, Mike. And if you do that as a first-time customer, FanDuel will match your initial deposit up to $200. It's free money for you to play with and win, but you have to play to win. You can win real money, no upfront fees, no season-long commitments, plays often or as infrequently as you like. FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Use promo code Mike to get those matching funds and start playing and winning today at FanDuel.com.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
North Florida Plumbing, professionals you can trust.
Finally, a plumber you really can call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. North Florida Plumbing offers fast service with 29 years experience working for you. North Florida Plumbing gives you the best service in Jacksonville. Call 384-4749 or visit nfplumbing.com.
North Florida Plumbing, your professional plumbing choice.
Mike Dempsey for Dandy Foods, here to tell you about another brand in their lineup of delicious sandwiches and subs. Have you seen them? They're called Anytime Deli, and I gotta tell you, the Thompson boys have definitely kicked it up a notch. We're talking quality stuff, folks, and you'll find them right next to Dandy in the fresh case, made with the highest quality meats and cheeses, hand-wrapped, and they're never frozen either. So if you can hear my voice, you can enjoy a fresh anytime, every time, at a Kangaroo Express near you.
Let's compare the BMW 320i to the Mercedes CLA. The 320i has rear-wheel drive for superior performance and handling. It's backed by no-cost maintenance and has that legendary 3-series history. The Mercedes CLA doesn't offer any of those things. The BMW 320i, the ultimate driving machine.
For maintenance terms and conditions, see bmwusa.com/ultimate service.
Start your search by visiting tombushbmw.com or opbmw.com and see us for a test drive today.
Make Boston's your sports headquarters this football season. Boston's got you covered with all major sports packages. Enjoy the best of ESPN Game Plan and the NFL Sunday Ticket. Every game, every Sunday. Come out for Monday Night Football and enjoy $2 23-ounce Bud Light drafts. Don't let the fun stop during the week. Enjoy Thirsty Thursdays with $5 Bud and Bud Light buckets all day. Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar in the River City Marketplace off I-95 at the airport exit. Boston's, we've got you covered.
Jeff Prosser, mornings on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
For the past 14 years, Heekin Orthopedic Specialists have been caring for North Florida residents in a variety of specialties that encompasses all aspects of orthopedic care. So is their reputation for the best quality of care in the Southeast. That's why Heekin Orthopedic Specialist is changing their name to Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. The same quality level of care, but now with an even broader scope of practice. 14 fellowship-trained physicians offering the finest care in our area. Heekin is now Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. Find out more at HeekinOrtho.com.
This is Tony Baselli, and there's no better feeling knowing you're protecting your investment. That's why you should protect your home with a Sterling Roof.
Sterling Roofing, the proof is in a Sterling Roof.
Well. Baloo here for Advantage Home Builders. This summer, the perfect opportunity for you to finally move into that brand new home. How about Panther Creek right now? You can get a new home starting in the 100s. The grand opening, phase two, call them right now, 607-5917. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or it's just the time for you to move in and get yourself a new home. Call 607-5917. Call Advantage Home Builders today.
In the mail, check it out. The kind of deals you only dream about. Your Mint Magazine.
Your Mint Magazine.
The Mint is here.
Your Mint. Mint Magazine. Restaurants, pizza, home improvement, automotive, carpet cleaning, vision care, the best entertainment deals in town, and so much more.
Your Mint Magazine. Your Mint Magazine. Here.
This football season, score a touchdown with new company shirts, hats, or other custom logoed items from Hardball Creative. It's 1010XL's choice and should be the number one pick for your firm, too. 998-8778. Online at hardballcreative.com.
The Jaguars have a new radio home.
That is the number one thing.
1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Starts with winning, quite frankly.
The Jacksonville Jaguars and 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, running on empty.
Looking out of the road, running under my wheels.
I think that is the theme, right? The running game is empty.
That is correct. That is correct.
I mean, that couldn't have been more fitting song title. Thank you, Jackson Brown.
Good, Warren.
Nicely played, Warren. How are you? Good morning.
Oh, I'm feeling a little empty today, but
are you?
Yes. Yeah.
Has your soul been ripped out of you? Have you?
Yeah. I was pretty excited in the first half of yesterday's game, and remember last week, Mike, I said that Allen Hurns I thought was going to score first touchdown for the Jags.
Well, you are correct. You tweeted
Boom.
Me about that yesterday.
I did. I was
Boom.
So and of course, so excited.
Tony will confirm this. I have no idea. I'm like, what is Lauren talking about? I have no idea what she predicted on Friday.
Oh, you kind of made fun of me. That's why it was even better yesterday.
Did I?
Oh, yeah. You were like, well, I mean, I don't think that's exactly going to happen.
That doesn't sound like
Well, no, you know what I made fun of you was because you had the Jags. What was the final? You had 31.
I had 31-28.
And
had Scobie kicked a little 31. Better. I think that could have been a closer score than what ended
it
up happening.
Been. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
We could have been 23-17.
I factored in, I didn't think Scobie was 100% with
the quad.
With the quad. Yeah. So I factored that into my calculation.
So close.
Veteran versus rookie. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I wish you had been right, Lauren, cause, I had already had the week planned out in here at halftime. I was like, wow, this is going to be phenomenal. We're going to have the best week ever.
I know.
Everyone's going to go, I'm revising it. It's 10-6. We're playoff bound. There's no question. We're whipping Washington's butt this week.
Right.
And, still may whip Washington's butt this week.
I absolutely had that conversation as well. Like, we're going to be 2-0 when Indianapolis comes to Jacksonville.
It's unbelievable.
Lauren was doing playoff scenarios. She was Googling playoff scenarios.
She was. She's like, how many teams that have started 2-0 have failed to make the playoffs? Not many!
She was on that ESPN track, the ESPN tracker they did last year. She was on that already, entering scenarios.
Great.
I had happy tears in my eyes, and then they turned to sad tears.
Sounded like the first guy on the postgame show yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
The scoreboard show.
Awesome. We had a guy call from Philadelphia. He was up there for the game, and he started his call by telling us how awful the Eagles fans were to him and every other Jaguar fan that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, that first half was pretty good. And then he got choked up. He was like, what happened in the second half? It was so sad. And then he was just like, I gotta go. And he got off the phone with it. It was awesome.
I kept looking for Jaguars emotion. Fans in the crowd. I couldn't find any.
I saw a few.
Did you?
I saw a few.
And
look, let's be honest. Philly fans, they may be a bunch of scum-sucking pigs. And, you know, everything you hear indicates that that's a pretty accurate statement. I think that's a legal term, scum-sucking pig.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, there are, any big metropolitan city like that, I'm not wearing my stuff. People say, oh, they treat you like garbage. You know that, okay? You
right.
know that's going to happen.
Right.
So don't act surprised when it happens. Is it right that it happens? Hey, you got the right, God bless America, freedom of speech, go wear anything you like. But don't be shocked when people who have a reputation for being crass individuals act as such.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Osher. I mean, we come in here like this guy. He's a...
Are people approaching me expecting me to be nice? What are they...
Are you kidding?
What do they think?
Do you not know this guy at all? All right. The question I asked you. More about Blake and his readiness. Because it's tough to know. We don't know. It's for
right.
us. The coaching staff should have a better idea. Because I always point out they see everything.
Right.
They're with him every day. And it's not just... It's every practice rep. It's what Chad's been doing in the offseason. It's all these things. But... Is it more that? Is it more him and the undefinable ready, or for us anyway, undefinable? Or is it more, boy, that line is not putting you in favorable down and distance. Boy, he's not going to get protected. Boy, his receivers are going to make some mistakes because of their youth. Is it more a combination of those things?
I think it's a huge part the latter. And then fans don't want to hear this. They don't think Chad Henne played that bad yesterday. That's it. the disconnect is in the fans' perception of Chad and the coach's perception of Chad. So when you ask them about Blake Bortles and why isn't he playing, and while people want answers, and you ask Gus, he always says, Chad, they believe him. They think he's playing fine. And, so they thought yesterday, they didn't think that the quarterback was a huge reason they lost that game in the second half. So I think it's much more, though, when you're looking at just Blake, it's not wanting to put him in when things are still not set around him on offense.
Did you like the call to go for it? Over 6 minutes left, fourth down and one.
As I pull away from it, I can see why you would have punted. But when there was indecision, but in the moments before you saw what they were going to do, I was saying to myself, Gus, you got to go. You got to go for it.
See, I felt the opposite at the time. And it's not result dependent.
And that wasn't a statistical analysis on my part. It was just sort of the feeling of the game.
I got you.
You got fourth and one. This team hadn't been in very many good down and distance situations in the game. That wasn't a bad one. So you figure they had you should have a decent chance to pick it up. You got the feeling that even if they punted, I had tweeted in the second half, they needed a couple of big plays on defense to stem the tide a little bit. They weren't going to win without a couple of our big plays on defense. They didn't get those in the second half. So I didn't have a feeling they were going to get that play. So I said, the only chance you got is to keep it in your hands. But as I get less emotional, as you get away from it, I sort of see your point.
The one that almost frustrated me more, and that was, look, if he makes it, great. I'm not going to kill Gus for that. I wouldn't have done it. So, I hope I would have said the same had he completed that and led him on to victory. I would have said, boy, was I wrong.
Right.
But I wouldn't have done it.
I'm not big usually in going forward in that situation, because I usually believe, especially 5-6 minutes left, with a developed team, you have a lot more time than you think in the fourth quarter. So I'm usually all about punting it. With this team, I just feel like they need it right then.
Well, the first couple plays resulted in about 2 net yards of loss. So now you got 3rd and 12. You got a kicker who's already kicked a 54-yarder, right? You're right there on that range of about 50-yard field goal, something like that. Does everyone in the house not know who's going to get the football in that situation? If you're Philly, why would you throw it in that situation?
Right.
When all you need is a field goal, pick up a few yards, and it was like, oh, they handed it off to McCoy. We didn't consider that. That was the play that was like drove me nuts. It's 3rd and 12, and McCoy runs untouched for a first down.
Right.
And I'm just like, wow. I would have been. I think I would have taken the chance to sell all out and send it. Send that. Maybe a run blitz or whatever, and maybe if Foles drops back, maybe you get lucky and you sack him, and now they're out of field goal range entirely, and just take that chance. But you can't let him just. Oh man, just. Oh, that was the most frustrating play maybe the whole game to me. But 6-4-1-10-10, let's talk to the Jag fans out there today. Ozone, starting with Mike this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Go Jaguars this season. Hey,
right,
listen. Listen, John, you're a wonderful guy. I like the articles, but I think you're a real elitist sports writer. Listen, you must have had sunglasses on yesterday watching that game if you don't think Kenny was to blame for the loss of that game. If you took the score at 14-7, it was 3:15 in the afternoon, and I text my friend and I said, here's what Kenny is all about. And you watch the three plays that Kenny threw, there wasn't a possibility of the wide receiver catching the ball. This guy is the Sergio Garcia of football. When it comes to a tight game, he's going to get the ball batted down, he's going to throw it high, he's going to throw it low, he's going to choke. And anyone that can't see that and wants to keep taking the team attitude of, well, Bortles isn't just ready, you're an elitist who thinks the fan doesn't know what they're talking about.
Let me ask you quickly, and not to defend Oze, he can defend himself, but let me ask you, Mike, before he does defend himself, do you think that Gus Bradley is just an elitist that thinks the fans don't know anything either? Because he's the one making that decision.
Well, you know what? I'm beginning to worry about Bradley. He started 0-8 last year. He's 0-1 today. Some of the calls he made yesterday. What has he done? What has he done? He's telling you that Henny's better than Bortles. Nobody in town thinks Henny's better than Bortles.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that, because the actual person who's making that decision was if Mike saw him the same as the elitist sports writer.
Right. Well, the elitist sports writer wouldn't mind seeing Bortles.
He does, but you probably were rocking the aviators, by the way.
But, I mean,
that's the thing. When you say that, I didn't hear you say you thought Henny didn't play that bad. I heard you say the team doesn't think Henny played that bad. And you're, I believe, reporting an accurate reflection of how the coaching staff feels about his performance yesterday.
I thought Chad played okay. I think, especially the series he's talking about, he's right. That was not a good series.
Sure.
I also thought in the second half there were balls that should have been caught for him, too.
Everyone, you know, he's captain checkdown, right? And then when he goes downfield and he hits the receivers in the hands and they don't catch it, that's Chad Henne, I'm not sure how that goes, but regardless, let's go on to Dan next up. 641-1010 is the number. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Okay. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Hey, last week I called you guys about questionable strategy on Bradley's point as far as going for 2 points when it wasn't necessary, fourth down, going for it on fourth down, and you kind of pawed me, and he did it again yesterday. 6 minutes left, fourth and inches, down one touchdown. I know why he did it, because he was afraid that once he gave the ball back to Philly, that they'd never see it again. But what did the defense do once we turned it over on fourth down? They stopped him, and they had
They stopped. Well, they stopped, but at that point, Philly's only playing to kick a field goal. Philly accomplished their goal. They picked up a first down and had an easy field goal to make it a two-score game, at which point they felt like the game was over. Philly didn't have the pressure to drive any further than they did. In fact, when they run it on third and 12, they're conceding. We don't even care if we pick up a first down here. Right. We're already in field goal range when we took over. Philly's going to do ultra conservative. So when you say they stopped them, well, they let them pick up a first down running the ball on third and 12. They didn't stop them. They gave them a chip shot field goal, let them run more time off the clock on top of it.
The play calling. They've done the same thing the drive before, too, when they just played for a 51-yarder.
The play calling on the drive after the Jags turned it over on fourth down, didn't complete the pass to Mercedes Lewis. McCoy right tackle for no gain. McCoy left tackle for -3. McCoy right end for 19 yards for the first down.
That's
McCoy left tackle for 1 yard. Sproles up the middle for 4. Sproles right guard for -1. They ran the ball 6 times, basically saying, we know where this Jags offense is. Which I made this point yesterday while we were talking off the air about going for it on fourth down. And I know I felt the same thing, John. I didn't feel like the defense was going to make a play for them to get them to that point, but I also didn't feel like
the
offense.
They needed.
No.
I didn't think they were going to be able to get into a turnover situation.
No, but the offense also wasn't good enough to drive it 65 yards for the touchdown at that point either.
Right, even if they complete that pass to Mercedes Lewis and he picks up another, I don't know, 5 yards.
So they're going to be punting or going for it on fourth down again in 3 plays. At least that's the way it felt to me watching. The only chance to win that game was punt the ball and hope something good happens.
Look,
the fourth and one wasn't going to be good enough.
Well, it might not have been, but you can't think that
there's
way as a coaching
minutes
staff,
left.
Though. If you pick up the first down there and you're the coaching staff, I mean, let's say it's first down. You're not going to say, well, there's no way we could pick up a first down here on 3 plays, so let's just punt it. That's our best chance. I know I'm making an absurd example out of it, but I thought they should have punted it as well, but to say they didn't, that they stopped them, well, Philly wasn't trying to do anything other than get the ball within easy field goal range for a kicker has already kicked a 54-yarder in that game. They were already in field goal range. They didn't need to do anything. They didn't stop them when you let them run 19 yards on 3rd and 12. Let's go to Bryce next up here on 1010XL. Good morning, Bryce.
Hey, guys. John, first off, I just want to say I think I like everything you say about Bortles and how you wouldn't mind seeing him play, but I feel bad that you've got to listen to every fan with tunnel vision thinking that he's this magical fanatia, although I would like to see him. However, yesterday I saw a lot of problems with the running game, and I'm confounded. I'm looking for some answers.
You too, huh?
I saw some okay pass blocking, but, is it, the talent? Is it, the scheme? Or, is it the offensive line? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's what we talked about all off season, which is that Austin Pastor's not there, and you have a backup right tackle. B, I think everybody knows they're still looking for a center that's the elite guy, which is going to take time. Well, we said all off season that continuity early on an offensive line that's just coming together was going to be an issue. Run blocking is where you see that first. I think in the preseason we saw that it wasn't there, And I think we saw yesterday that it's going to take time to get it there. I don't think it's a matter of nobody on this offensive line can play. I think it's a matter of all the things that go into having an offensive line come together and be effective aren't there yet.
I think there's continuity certainly plays a role in that, but we're looking at a couple of examples earlier before the show of Zane Beatles. You got a one-on-one
right.
blocking situation, nothing to do with continuity. It's you versus the man in front of you, and he got abused on a few of those. I mean, just manhandled on a few of those plays. This is the one guy you should feel the most comfortable about in the entire unit, right?
Sure.
Because, I mean, that he's the most experienced. They paid him the money to go out there. And again, you and I have talked about this. It's not the money. Who cares what the money is?
Right.
Because it doesn't impact the salary cap. You're way under the salary cap anyway. If it prevented you from signing someone else, then you should be upset about the money
right.
that you're spending. But so it's not
they
that.
They thought that left side of the line with him and Joku was going to be solid. It needs to be solid.
It needs to be better than it's been in the preseason yeah. and through one game. All right, let's take a break. 641-1010. Your chance, Jag fans, to sound off. Agree, disagree, whatever. Call us elitist. I prefer you call John an elitist because I think he is. You're welcome to call me one. As well, I think I'm a man of the people. However, it's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Back with more Jaguars today, straight ahead on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Harry's Razors came to me and said, you got to try our product. You're going to think it's better than anything you've ever shaved with before. I was a little bit skeptical, but you know what? They're right. Absolutely the best razor blades that I've ever used, and they're only a fraction of the price you're going to pay at a drugstore cost. Harry's was started to solve a real problem for guys. Shaving can be uncomfortable, cause razor burn. Razor blades can be so expensive, but you know what? Harry's said there's a better way to do it. They went out, purchased their own factory. They cut out the middleman. They make their own high-quality blade, and they sell them and ship them to you for a song. Prices about half of that of the leading manufacturer's brands out there, and they ship for free to your front door. In fact, go to Harry's.com now. Harry's will give you 20% off your first item purchase. You type in my first name, Mike, with your first purchase. Already, great savings. You're going to save your face. You're going to save your wallet. Go to Harry's.com and save even more now by entering promo code Mike. Take 20% off your first item. Harry's Razors, there's a better way to shave. It starts at Harry's.com.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, if you bleed teal and black, then welcome home. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, Jags fans, Coach Gus Bradley here. Nothing quite matches the excitement of leading our team onto Everbank Field, and now game day could start with you through the Everbank on the Prowl sweepstakes. For each Jags home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the opportunity to lead our team as they take the field. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/prowl. That's everbank.com/prowl and enter today. No purchase necessary. Everbank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Claude Nolan Cadillac means luxury, performance, and service you can count on. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac has served as the preferred Jacksonville Cadillac dealer. A pillar of the community, Claude Nolan Cadillac has been owned by the same family from day one, so you know you can count on them to take care of you when looking for your next vehicle. They also have more master technicians than any other dealer in the area. Claude Nolan Cadillac is located on 4700 Southside Boulevard. Go see them today.
Now, the electrifying return of the most potent, explosive force in American music history, Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks returns to Jacksonville's Veterans Memorial Arena Friday, October 10th, Saturday, October 11th, and Sunday, October 12th. All shows 7:30 p.m. with very special guest star, Trisha Yearwood. On sale Friday, September 12th, 10 a.m. sharp. 8-ticket limit. Tickets all inclusive, $68. Buy tickets only at Ticketmaster.com or call 800-745-3000. Garth Brooks, the event of events.
Taste the best wine, beer, and hors d'oeuvres the First Coast has to offer while helping homeless pets. Join the Jacksonville Humane Society for Homecoming Toast to the Animals, Jacksonville's premier charitable tasting in the Terrace Suite at Everbank Field, Saturday, September 20th, the night before the first regular season home game. It's chaired by Jaguars General Manager David Caldwell and his wife. Help raise money to benefit the shelter's medical fund, helping sick, injured animals to find new, loving homes. Get your tickets at jackshumane.org/toast.
Incontinence is surprisingly common. You may well know someone who's experienced it. For information, go to tena.us/takecharge. Tena Male Guards, available at Walmart, Amazon, CVS, and other fine stores.
Catch the college football game of the week
Tennessee at Oklahoma. 8 o'clock kickoff on 1010XL 92.5 FM this Saturday. Brought to you by Roland Reese Plumbing and Aircraft General Supply.
Game on. 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, this is Tony of Tony D's Pizza. When you want authentic New York pizza and pasta, come to my place, Tony D's Pizza. If you can't make it in, we can deliver it to you guys. Tony D's Pizza, Bay Meadows and 9A.
Construction is hard work, but if you're like me, getting to use strong, powerful equipment makes it easier and more fun. So get a load of this, Kubota's new SVL Compact Track Loader Series. It's the compact track loader only Kubota could build, with a Kubota turbocharged diesel engine, lift capacity up to 5,869 pounds, and a bucket breakout force up to 7,961 pounds. And there's no time like the present to see Coastal Equipment for a demo today.
Have you been putting off your painting project because of the hassles involved? Picking colors, moving furniture, repairing damaged areas? Or maybe you're just wondering when your project starts if the painters will show up on time. Will they respect your property or leave a huge mess? I'm Jason Parker with Performance Painting. Allow our team to show you what it's like to get a great customer experience and a great paint job. Call 641-4800 or go to performance-painting.com. Performance Painting, quality coatings applied with pride.
More than 700 quick lane tire and auto centers across this country, and she chooses mine.
I need tires all season and at a great price.
She wanted it all, but even she was surprised once I crunched the numbers. Soon her Taurus was ready to roll.
Say, you're good, Mr.
Murphy, ma'am, at your service, even on weekends.
With great prices on 13 name brand tires and no appointment necessary, Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Get great golf tips from the experts every Saturday morning at 10. Tour news, local updates, and the latest gear. The Edwin Watts Golf Hour, Saturday morning on 1010XL.
Hi there, I'm Chris Berman of ESPN, and every time I get back to the Jacksonville area, I listen to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories brings you the show every Monday. Revolvers, semi-autos, rifles, sporting arms, shotguns, you name it. Wild West will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at guns4jacks.com. That's online, or stop by their shop on Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor here. On Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey and the elitist John Osier.
You know what these are, Mike?
Oh, those are your
my elitist aviators.
You know, the future's so bright, you got to wear those indoor aviator shades there. I like it.
Are you talking to me?
No, how would you know? You can't see me.
That's right.
Can you see my eyes through those dark shades that you're wearing right now?
I just want to know who let a commoner like you talk to an elitist like me.
Well, I'm a man of the people.
All right.
Bro, you came barging in.
Well, go represent that.
That was Chris Brown. Run it. Yeah. Good advice. We knew that going in, though, right? I mean, how many times can we say it? I haven't seen a whole lot of push in the running game. That was putting it nicely in the preseason. This is a major concern for this football team. Forget everything else. Whoever the quarterback is.
Well, it absolutely is. And I hear a lot of criticism, Dave, even about Toby Gerhart. And I'm just not a guy who, in most situations, pins big-time running issues on the running back. I think there's a few guys who can overcome a struggling offensive line in the league. I don't think Toby Gerhart's one of those guys.
Saw one yesterday.
What's that?
McCoy.
Yeah. and
the jump cuts were pretty impressive.
The jump cuts are impressive. But that's not what Toby Gerhart is. I don't think it's what Denard is. I don't think it's what Jordan Todman is, certainly. So the running game, the push, has to get better up front. And, you know, I don't think Austin Pastor coming back is the complete answer to that. But they've got to get more continuity or figure out some way to get a crease or something to get the running game going. That is as much of a problem or significantly more of a problem than the quarterback right now.
Because unlike a team like Philly, who can run into a brick wall, run into a brick wall, run into a brick wall, and then McCoy or Sproles is going to pop one.
Right.
Right. That's the way a lot of running games are in the National Football League. When you average five a carry, it's not 5-5-5. With Toby, it's going to be closer to 5-5-5, right? I mean, he's still going to rip off a few, but he's not going to go 80 yards very often. He's not going to have that run that Sproles had where this, the hole opens up and he's going to run unmolested to the end zone. So.
There was a little bit yesterday in the second half, a couple of times where they got a little bit of a crease.
Yep.
And he sort of showed what he can be if things are going right.
But we're talking a handful of plays.
A handful of plays. But, yeah. I mean, I'm sure in that coach's meeting room, that's what they're going to try to build on is, okay, that's where it started to look. Let's see how we can use that. So, but it's, this is a team, they've at least got to have the threat of the run, and they didn't have that enough yesterday.
Absolutely. All right, 641-1010, back to the phone lines we go. Kevin, you are next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Morning. How are y'all guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, I want to stop being the negative, hearing the negative Jaguar fans, and I want to look at some of the positives that happened at yesterday. When the offense was in up tempo, it seemed like they were moving the ball very well, and in the second half they went away from it. But the it seemed like the up tempo was working pretty well for the offense. And who would have thought that? Well, with all the upgrades we've done on defense and everything, four sacks at the beginning of the game and the turnovers that we created, that's pretty much a positive in my book. Like I said, I wanted to see from them was improvement around most of the areas on this team. And I think we saw that and it's looking nothing but up there. It's looking nothing but going up, going forward. And, with everybody taking the blame and putting it on Chad Henne and wanting to see Bortle, just give it time. The coaching staff is getting paid a lot more. And know a lot more than we know. So just let it go. Get over it. Enjoy the run because they're going to make a run. And we're going to beat Washington this week. So just enjoy it. And they'll come home 1-1.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. That's the rosy side of things. And I don't agree with that 100% either. But, you know, here's the thing with the coaching staff. Coaching staffs can be wrong. Coaches eventually get fired, most of them, right? So a series of wrong mistakes can lead to that. So Gus Bradley's not infallible. Dave Caldwell as a GM is not infallible. I think I said infallible. That's okay. Cause I am,
you corrected yourself quickly.
I am not infallible, Tony.
Infallible, new word.
But look, you know, people, and maybe I should just put the emotional noise out of my head, but there's this feeling, this perception that I have that the fans think that there's must be some conspiracy. Why are they not clearly playing the guy who is best suited to win? Don't you think Gus Bradley wants to win football games? You know what I mean? I mean, do you think he's trying to put his team in the
worst position? I pulled
him
aside last week and
asked
him this. I said, off the record, Gus, do you want to win? And he goes, yeah.
Did he say that?
Yeah, so that's a breaking
news. Are you breaking
that story
right now? Why
is that off the record?
He goes, John, don't tell anybody this, but yes, I did.
All right, well, you just violated the strict confidentiality.
Yeah, I'll probably get fired for that one.
But, look, I'm not... Gus Bradley will make mistakes and probably has already made mistakes. I mean, you can argue the fourth down. You can argue a lot of calls. Gus Bradley, Jed Fish, Bob Babbage, a whole lot of the coaching staff. They're all going to make mistakes. You hope that it's not that crippling mistake that decides a game. Really, you look at the big plays. Those are the ones that did the Jags in. Were they mistakes by the scheme? Were they mistakes by, you got a young guy like Josh Evans in there? And I say a young guy, I mean, Cyprian's a young guy too, but he's clearly not your top guy. And he's wandering around like he doesn't have any clue what's going on that fourth and one play. And I don't know what he's looking at. He's looking at Foles going to run some naked booter. I don't know what he's thinking. And he's got to come crashing down on that play.
Well, a couple of plays that really bit him, obviously, were the 68 yarder to Macklin.
Sure.
And the 49 yarder to Sproles. And talking to Pislesny after the game, I think it was Ryan O'Halloran and I were talking to him in the corner and he was kind of going over the game and getting dressed and he finally had a really great quote. He said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, you stop him, you're worried about him, you have a couple of mental errors that kill you. And he goes, but that's what the Eagles want to do offensively. That's why they run the up tempo. That's what
they're going to stress you
Eagles
to the point where you're going to crack
the second half by being the Eagles. Basically. And it was really, it was true. They're going to run up tempo and hope that at some point you have a crack, and that's what happened in the second half.
And then they hit you over the top with a big play, or they hit you up the gut with a big play, but the difference is
that you've got to be on your P's and Q's all the time. That's all the Jaguars said all last week. You got to be on the details. You got to be careful against this team because they're going to run up tempo, and by doing that, they're going to trust that they're moving faster and that you're going to have a mental error. And Paul said on the two plays that they scored on, that's what happened. Or on
the two big plays.
On the two
sure.
big shots. Right.
Right. Right. All right. Let's get Jim up next. 641-1010 is the number. Hi, Jim. How are you?
It's always nice to talk to a couple of elitist pigs in this world. But anyway, that's
you're welcome.
Anyway, real quick. The one thing, I know I haven't seen the tape, and you said Loughlin looked at a little bit of it and said that the receivers weren't running open. I just found it kind of strange that Henny was throwing. I mean, I can't imagine how many times he threw to receivers with three guys around him. And I'm going, surely somebody else is a little open. But the other point was, is that with Cyprian down and Evans in there, and then they take him out. I mean, did anybody expect to see anything other than Chris Pruszynski out of position on that 68-yard touchdown pass? I mean, for as long as he's been here, he's made the team basically because of his special teams work, and that's it. I mean, you guys were talking earlier that he might not even make the team, and here he is, to make a big play, and what we've seen since he's been here, he's out of position. So, I mean, it wasn't surprising that, Philly was going to exploit that at some point because that's just the history of him and everything else. So, I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, but I will say this. I agree with the last caller. One thing it was nice is actually to see the Jags getting pressure on a quarterback with four guys rushing and not bringing, five or six guys all the time. So that was the one positive that I got out of the whole thing. And, like I said, there's a lot of blame to go around, but when 42 in there, I wasn't surprised because that we've seen that over and over again since he's been here. So anyway, thanks guys.
All right. Thank you. Look, there's a reason he's not your starter.
Right. And I mean, it seems like he bit hard on that play and it was wide open in the back. And, again, a reason he's not the starter. He had also, on a series earlier when he first got in the game, had a really nice play that sort of set up and stopped an Eagles drive. As a defensive back, you can't go one for two.
Here's the thing. Jags don't have a big margin for error, okay?
Right.
Right. And look around the National Football League. Big plays get hit in every game. There are going to be a play or two. If you sit there and say, man, there's two big plays that did us in, you're going to be saying that every week.
Right.
Somebody's going to hit two big plays against you almost every week in the National Football League. So, despite all the positive, despite the pass rush, which that was the best half of pass rush that I can remember in the longest time. Forget the team record for sacks, just the constant pressure. They had Foles at one point so shell-shocked, he couldn't hit a wide-open guy 5 feet in front of him. I mean,
credit to the Eagles for sort of battening down the hatches on that front and getting things calm in the second half. I thought it was key. I think we talked about it, Mike. I thought it was key for the Eagles that they hit the big play early in the second half and got it back to within 17-7 and sort of gave themselves a little bit of confidence and also kept from having to be in throw every down mode in the second half. I thought that, coupled with the fact they'd run a lot of plays, maybe slowed down the Jaguars' pass rush a little bit, maybe could have brought a little more pressure on key pass plays in the second half if you look back on it with an offensive line that, on the Eagles' part, had some guys out. But for the most part, the Eagles got back in it, and then they were able to get back into their offense, which was it kept the run in the game. It kept them able to use LeSean McCoy and Sproles. It kept them able to do that rather than having to throw every down to get back in it.
Yeah, you made a great point as well. The play prior to the Sproles touchdown, it's 3rd and 10.
Right.
And a little dump pass.
If you tackle
that guy after 5 yards.
Right.
They're on the opposite side of the 50-yard line, and chances are they're not. They're going to punt. They're going to pin the Jags back.
Right, and it's 4th and 4 where Chip Kelly's
saying, exactly.
Hey, we're going for it. And
it was 4th and 1 just over midfield.
Right.
So,
and all of a sudden they're running a play that mentally, emotionally, the Jaguars have them stopped on 3rd down. So they're like, okay, we're not punting, and now they're going, and a couple of mental errors on that play led to the touchdown. As Gus said in the post game, the little things can lead to big things. In the first half, he thought the Jaguars did a good job of making that work to their advantage. In the second half, the little things went against the Jaguars.
Still goes to show you how far they need to go because the better teams are going to overcome a series of little mistakes.
A mature, developed team holds on that lead and wins.
Well, mature, develop, more talent. I mean, look, the roster is not at the same talent level
as
a lot of the...
I mean guys who are talented on the level of a third and fourth year veteran, which is different than a talented first and second year veteran.
All right, we got to take a quick time out, and we'll come back. More of your calls, 641-1010. This Dayton football history. We'll do the Honda Drive around the National Football League and check in on some other results from week one as well. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. And on this date in 1991, the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, who happily now seems to be free of cancer.
Tremendous. That's awesome. Yeah.
Jim Kelly threw six touchdown passes in a 52-34 rout of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, how I was enjoying the comeback yesterday by Brian Hoyer and company when they tied it up at 27. And I guess, Tony, I'm looking at the game center wrong because I'm pointing at Tony. I'm like, look at this, look at this. And I thought Cleveland was like in point-blank range to kick a field goal late in that game to take the lead. But Pittsburgh went on for the win. But Jim Kelly, that was 91. He threw for six TDs on this date versus the Steelers. The state in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, who will fabricate and install the highest quality fence for you at a competitive price while giving you unsurpassed customer service. Whether it's your home, your place of business, your family's going to feel protected, you're going to breathe easier knowing that Best Fence installed your new fence. Call them at 268-1638 for a professional free estimate or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
All right, the Houston Texans, number one overall draft pick, Jadeveon Clowney, left their game yesterday in the second quarter after coming down awkwardly on his knee. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the team fears that he may have a partially torn meniscus in his knee that could require surgery. Is that what it turned out to be?
I'll find out for sure, but that's what they think. Me and Clowney, very often compared for our athletic prowess, now have come down with the same injury.
If he does have to go for surgery, it could force him to miss an as-of-yet undetermined period of time. Clowney will be undergoing further tests today before any decision is made. Of course, it's been a story all morning. TMZ has posted the video that we all knew would eventually be leaked out. If you want to see what happened on that elevator between Ray Rice and his then-fiance, now you can. The picture is not pretty for Rice or for the league or for law enforcement, for that matter. If Commissioner Goodell and the league office had access to that video that we've all had a chance to see, I can't imagine that they didn't. But they have released a statement, and an NFL spokesman, here's the statement they released. Quote, "We requested from law enforcement any and all information about the incident, including the video from inside the elevator. That video was not made available to us, and no one in our office has seen it until today."
What did they think happened in the elevator, Tony?
I don't know.
Did they think she slipped and fell? I mean, what in the world? And why is she, unless it's like a battered woman syndrome thing, which it may be, I don't know. I'm not trying to make light of it, but why would Janae, his then fiance, apologize for her role in it? I looked at her role in it, and he got in her face, and she kind of pushed him back a little. I mean, not in any way in a threatening where you'd feel at all like she was about to do you physical harm kind of way, and he wasn't having none of it, and he just let loose with a left hook.
Now, I can't imagine that the league didn't have access to that videotape. I just can't imagine that, and maybe they're trying. They know. We know that they know they screwed it up. As far as the punishment, two games for Ray Rice wasn't nearly enough. Maybe they're trying to create a situation where they can go back and revisit that punishment with Ray Rice and saying, look, we didn't have access to this videotape, may give them an open door to do that. I don't know.
My problem is
it still makes you look incompetent.
The only reason they, quote, know they screwed up is because everyone just gave it to them. How you could not know you were screwing up as you were making that decision shows, I don't know, what level of poor decision making at the very least. Is that it?
That's it.
There you go. The Honda Drive around the NFL. It's angers me, that particular situation. By the way, fire Belichick, man. How do you let the Patriots lose a 10-point lead?
Fire him!
Fire Brady!
Did you see Brady's...
Get Garoppolo in there.
Now 6-7 at Miami.
Play the kid.
6-7.
Play the kid in Foxborough.
How is Tom Brady 6-7 against anybody?
Play the kid. Jimmy Garoppolo. Play him. Play the kid. You don't lose a 10-point lead like that.
I don't even care who
on the road.
Is,
how dare you play the kid? Play the kid, please. you lose 33-20 to open the season like that. Play the kid.
Who else lost?
Get Garoppolo in there. Fire Belichick. All the rest of them who lost, they all get fired. They all get fired.
Kid, yeah.
Oakland played the kid. Play the old guy.
Play the old guy.
Play
the other kid.
Go back to Shaw. All right? Maybe McGloin. Would he be the other kid at this point?
That's right.
It's possible.
Can't sign another kid and play him too.
Player in Murray, Kansas City. What are you waiting on?
All right. 641-1010. Let's go back to the phone lines here. On a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, say hello to Jerome. Hi, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
I just want to say, I think the D is good. I mean, I think it's real good. It just didn't have no help. I mean, the offense, it seemed like last year, like, you remember last year? Gabbert couldn't move the ball, but when Chad Henne came in, he could move the ball. But now it seems like this year, Chad Henne can't move the ball. But when Bortles in there, the ball just moves. And I think we left some plays on the field, yeah, but I think you should go. I mean, regardless he's a rookie or not, they need to stop babying people. I feel like the way they be, you know what I mean, treating them, sometimes they be babying them. They need to just, hey, it is what it is, and go with it.
All right, you're not alone in feeling that way.
I think you'll see that at some point this season. I don't know when, but I think you'll see it. And it's going to be a constant sort of push and pull and anger, and I'll put on my aviators and be elitist, but you're not going to see it this
he
month.
He literally is putting them on, ladies and gentlemen.
You're not going to see it this month. I think you'll see it sometime fairly soon after that, but it's a guess.
Through all this, the one that kills me, the mindset that kills me is they'd be playing harder for Blake, man. They'd make those catches because they'd be playing harder for Blake. And people truly believe this, as if Allen Hurns is going to go to a game. This is my first game in the NFL, man. I know I've caught 2 touchdowns, but I wasn't trying that hard on those.
Right.
I would have tried even harder for Blake and caught those. And that one I dropped, man, if Blake were in there, you know, because I'm established now. After a couple of quick scores in my career, I can afford to decide when to coast and when to really go hard.
Play hard for Blake.
I mean, do you really think about what you're saying, people?
They're going to play harder. Play hard for Blake.
Play hard for Blake, right?
Go for it.
I mean, because I think, you know, the team realizes the sooner we get Henny out of there, the better we're going to be. Well, I guess they would play hard. I don't know if it's that, but that when Blake comes in, he raises the level of excitement. Therefore, guys are sharper focused, and they're trying harder. They're executing better.
I never got a feeling yesterday the offense wasn't trying. I got the feeling.
But John, you're watching through aviators.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. That's
the problem.
And I'm watching from my perch, my elitist perch.
Your elitist perch as well. You would notice if you were a man of the people that they would try harder for Blake. Okay.
I don't know. Look, the frustration yesterday.
I did, actually.
And we have heard that from fans, and it's an absolutely ridiculous sentiment, but the frustration for fans and, for me watching the game yesterday was, I do believe this defense is pretty good. And I don't think they're going to be as good all season as they were in that first half.
Sure.
I don't think they're going to be as bad as
they
showed.
They won't get 160
right.
sacks.
They're not that good. But in games where they are that good for any period of time is a game that this team needs to find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that the offense couldn't hold up its side of the bargain in a game where the defense played that well and had them in a position to really clamp down and end that thing in the first half and give Philadelphia no chance to win that game, that is a legit frustration. When they get 5 sacks and force 3 turnovers, and when your offense drives to get a field goal on a drive that started from your own 1-yard line, the one real drive they had in that game, then yeah, that game should be 28-31 to nothing at halftime. It should be. And instead it was 17. So the fans being frustrated with what that offense was doing, I get, it should have been better in the first half than it was from the offense. It wasn't. And then for the third quarter, they were putrid. I mean, they were terrible on offense there in the third quarter. Got nothing from that offensive side of the ball, and the defense got worn out.
I think everybody in this room wishes they were more developed and more mature offensively.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, who doesn't?
Right.
I mean, who hasn't wanted them to play better? I just got this tweet. This is one from Bill McNeil. At I'm
my
Bill
boy
McNeil,
Bill,
right? Who says,
I love Bill.
Who says, I'm taunting Jaguar fans because we aren't okay with mediocre, period. Nice, period. No, Bill, I'm taunting idiots who think that the team will play harder for the other guy when it's the season freaking opener and they're up 17-0 at the half. You think they decided, you know what? The second half, I'm not going to try quite as hard because I don't like the fact that Chad Henne's in at quarterback. If that's how you think, Bill, then I am taunting you because that makes you a moron, okay? So if you're among that group that think that way, feel free to be insulted,
Bill,
okay?
I didn't call
you a moron.
But that's
an accurate reflection of your lack of intelligence, all right? Seriously.
Me and Bill go way back. I didn't call you a moron.
Well, you know what? I did. I did, Bill. You can point it right at me, okay? Because I'm not taunting anyone who's not okay with mediocre. I'm taunting anyone who thinks that the team is going to, quote, try harder for Blake. Open up your freaking ears. You idiot. All right? Is that clear enough for you? I think it is.
All right, Jack.
All right. I mean, come on. Where are we going next? Philip, I believe, is next up on 1010XL. Hi, Philip. How are you?
Hi, guys. Two points, but before I get to them, actually, just based on what you just said, I wanted to tell you I moved here from New York, and I appreciate this radio because it's better to be frank and give it the way it is and sugarcoat things, and I appreciate that about the show. My two points are the following. One is I thought that, and I don't know if you covered this, but I thought the fourth down call where they went for it with 4, 5, 6 minutes left, I thought it was the right call. It was just that the right decision. It was just the wrong play. You do a sneak there. There's just too many things can go wrong with a pass. And then my other point about the quarterbacks, and I'd like your view on this, is I thought it was a mistake from the beginning to hand Chenny the reins and say, you know, Bortles was a backup, because you paint yourself in the corner. Look what happened in Oakland with Carr coming through. But now that they've done that, they have to stick with it because you lose all credibility with the team. If you go against, you know, it's a bigger picture story now. They need to maintain, you know, credibility. So I think they made a mistake in the beginning, but now they're doing the right thing, you know, based on that decision.
You buy any of that?
Well, I get the theory, but I just know from talking to these players in the locker room, if they went to Blake in 2 or 3 weeks, they're not going to lose the team because they had said something else throughout the offseason. I mean, I just don't think that's that big of an issue. I just don't. Not much more to say on it than that. I just don't think, if you put in Blake Bortles, I don't think the team's going to go. But you said, Chad, they all get that at some point Blake's going to be the starter. And I think they also get that the offense has to develop a little around. The offensive line has to play better first. And the receiving core has to look a little bit more like at least a little bit of an experienced receiving core. So I don't think they're going to lose the team if they go to Blake.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that what you saw in the preseason was every situation they put Blake in, he was successful. Mm-hmm. And his teammates can see that too. And while it may not be developing on the practice field the same way that it seemed to when he was on the field under lights, we talked about that going into that third preseason game, the opportunity for him to be on the field with Mercedes Lewis and those guys for the first time. And how would that look and feel for those guys? Look, they can't have their confidence shaken in Blake Bortles based on anything they've seen him do to this point. So maybe there is confidence in Chad. They like Chad. That's fine. That's not everything, though. That doesn't mean they don't like Blake.
Right.
They may like him just as much as soon as he's given the opportunity. I think that's a bit of an overblown angle on this thing. They'd be fine.
These guys are professionals. It's game
loss Monday, so everybody hates the quarterback.
Yeah, for everyone who hates me now who says you're saying all Jaguar fans are stupid. No. If you specifically think that the team would have, that those receivers would have caught those balls had Blake thrown the exact same passes because they would have been trying harder, then I think you're an idiot. I'm sorry. If you don't fall into that category, don't be offended by it. I'm only talking specifically to those people. I don't think that represents all of them, but you think no one's saying it? Come read my Twitter feed.
Right.
Okay?
And nobody thinks that the fans are idiots because they want to see Blake.
No,
everybody
that's
gets
not that.
That. It's intrinsic. I want to see Blake.
Well,
you want to see Blake.
You know what? They would have blocked better up front in the run game if Blake had been in there. I mean, that's the same thing you're saying. Would the offensive line have tried harder? Would Toby Gerhardt have performed better because Blake was in there handing it to him?
Right.
I mean, if Blake
is
throwing better passes.
Everybody's going to see Blake. It's not going to happen this week.
I'm just talking about the plays that were there to be made, regardless of who was throwing the football or who was handing it off. What difference would it make? If Henne delivers a ball to a guy's hands, is he more likely to catch it because it was coming from somebody else? I don't understand that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, but then again, I'm not the brightest guy.
Yeah,
so.
You're a little bit of an elitist too now.
No, I'm just an angry, I'm a man of the people, but I don't suffer the lunacy, to a certain degree.
Not in this way.
Not in this particular fashion. 641-1010, we gotta take a break. Phone line's still open to you here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
Break the huddle, man!
Jaguar coaches, Jaguar players, Jaguar experts. Live from Everbank Field. So yeah, you're in the right spot. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
1010XL's restaurant of the day for Monday is Jenkins Quality Barbecue, a Jacksonville family business serving succulent ribs, chicken, sliced pork, and beef for 57 years. All cooked fresh daily on an oak wood fire pit and topped with their savory mustard-based sauce. Taste their barbecue. You'll understand why their customers can't get enough. Find them on the south side at 2025 Emerson, downtown, 830 Pearl. Northside, 5945 New Kings Road. Jenkins Quality Barbecue, 1010XL's restaurant of the day.
Hey, what happened to the water?
No water? No problem. Call Florida Pump Service. Since 1948, Florida Pump Service has been trusted by homeowners and businesses in your neighborhood. Florida Pump Services both residential and commercial applications. When your water well or irrigation pump leave you high and dry, Florida Pump Service can get you water in no time. For the fastest, most reliable 24-hour service, call Florida Pump Service, 904-269-0202, or click floridapumpservice.com. Florida Pump Service. We make water happen.
Hello, this is trial attorney Earl Johnson. Since bringing my message to 1010 listeners just months ago, I've been able to recover thousands and thousands in overtime dollars for workers who were due that money. I've also been able to keep families in their home who face the specter of foreclosure. If you or someone you know works more than 40 hours a week but doesn't receive overtime, or a family in foreclosure, I believe I can help. Call me, trial attorney Earl Johnson, at 356-5252.
Claude Nolan Cadillac means luxury, performance, and service you can count on. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac has served as the preferred Jacksonville Cadillac dealer. A pillar of the community, Claude Nolan Cadillac has been owned by the same family from day one, so you know you can count on them to take care of you when looking for your next vehicle. They also have more master technicians than any other dealer in the area. Claude Nolan Cadillac is located on 4700 Southside Boulevard. Go see them today.
Bubba Watson, Jim Furyk, Matt Kuchar, Jason Duffner, Brant Snedeker. What do they all have in common? All PGA Tour champs, and they all got their start on the Web.com Tour. Come see the next rising star at the Web.com Tour Championship as it returns to TPC Sawgrass September 18th through the 21st. 50 PGA Tour cards up for grabs. Season finale tickets start at only $19 at WebTourChampionship.com. This is the path to the PGA Tour.
Florida Home AC has a winning game plan when it comes to keeping your home or office that perfect temperature. With their efficient attic systems, they can save you big bucks on your energy bill. Call 777-4300 and ask about the best way to cool and heat your home. That's Florida Home AC.
Joe Cowart, noon to 3 on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Sun Tire is proud to announce the incredibly low price of $69.95 per axle for brakes. This brake service includes new pads and resurfacing of the rotors. And with Sun Tire, there are never gimmicks, games, or surprises. Just honest value that you can depend on. Sun Tire never makes you buy services you don't need just to get low prices on tires and brakes. So when Sun Tire advertises $69.95 per axle for brakes, this price will apply to most cars. There may be an exception or two, but $69.95 per axle for brakes is completely guaranteed for 12 months or 12,000 miles. Stop by any Sun Tire location and have your brakes checked free of charge. If you need brakes, we'll let you know. If you don't need brakes, Sun Tire will not sell you services you do not need. $69.95 per axle for brakes, complete with a 12-month or 12,000-mile written guarantee. Visit us at suntire.com or call any of our 11 stores.
Sun Tire, can't depend on us.
Get your first glance of Sunday's matchup on Sawyer Gas Jaguars Kickoff with David Lamb and Hacker, Sunday morning at 9.
Let's crank it up and get it done.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jags on three. One, two, three, sir.
I'm Jeff Middlecoff with Trustline Mortgage. My business partners, Alan Tire, Bill Pappas, and Ken Rimley, are amazed how some people choose their mortgage company. After all, it's the biggest financial decision most people will ever make. Don't believe the big bank theory. They may think they created the mortgage, but at Trustline, we've perfected it. Call Trustline Mortgage today. We're celebrating 25 years in business. We use local appraisers and we make common sense decisions. We offer 90% jumbo loans for physicians, CPAs, and dentists with no mortgage insurance. Our bounce back mortgage is awesome. If you've recently had a foreclosure, short sale, even a bankruptcy, we can help if you have 20% to put down. Our 80-10-10 loans avoid mortgage insurance altogether and still get you 90% financing. Trustline Mortgage. Real estate agents and builders depend on us every day. Shouldn't you? Call Trustline Mortgage at 381-LOAN. That's 381-LOAN. Or visit our website at TrustlineMortgage.com. Trust your instincts and follow the line to Trustline Mortgage.
Trustline Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 331480.
Hey, this is Russell Crowe, and you're listening to the best sports radio in the world, 1010 XL Jacksonville Sports Radio.
1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, 641-1010, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. You're going to react. Don't think I'm not, as well. Same time. Everyone's going to, well, most Jack fans don't feel that way. That's fine. I'm not talking to ones who don't feel that way. Talking to ones who do feel that way and express that to me on Twitter. Sorry, I'm not going to hold my tongue if I think people are less than bright.
It's just a bubbling cauldron of emotion in here.
You haven't done a lot of radio with me. I've had the most sedate 4 months of radio I think I've ever had, Tom.
I agree.
You know?
Let it out every now and then, man. I'm fine. I'm glad football season's here.
Hey, look, again, someone said, you know, you're mocking Jag fans who think they'd perform better with Blake. No, I'm not. That's legit. If you think Blake's better, I can argue with it. I do think, you know, this idea that I hear it, and maybe everyone doesn't hear it as frequently as I do, that you know, everyone's saying, oh, this Henny's so great, and everyone's trying to, you know, why aren't they playing Bortles? As if we're holding him back. You would play him. I would play him. Tony would play him. I don't know if many people outside the coaching staff who wouldn't play him. But if you think there's some kind of conspiracy to prop up Henny, it must be led by the head coach. I mean, he must be conspiring, or the elitist, yeah, John Osier. He must be conspiring to hold down the franchise. Anyway, moving on. 641-1010. Where are we going? Kevin, I think, is next up. Is it Kevin? Oh, I'm sorry. Eric is next on Jaguars today. Good morning, Eric.
Going on, fellas.
What's up?
I got 2 points real quick. You know, the whole Henny situation, he is what we thought he was. You know, last year we saw that, and yesterday in the second half we saw that. And it's just an unknown with Bortles that a lot of the fans, me personally, want to see. And I'm not arguing that Bortles should start right now, but it's just the unknown of how good he can be in this offense. And then my second point is the special teams. We missed 2 field goals, or 1 blocked and missed 1. Going in, if we make those 2, you're down 23-24 with the 5 minutes to go. That's a whole different situation on that 4th and 1. You punt it and, you know, play defense and try to get the ball back and maybe get a field goal to win the game.
Yeah, that hurt. I mean, I didn't talk to Josh Scobie after the game. I'm sure he would have told you he's disappointed to miss the 50 because he feels like that's a kick he should make. And certainly getting 1 blocked from where they got it blocked, those 6 points felt big.
I couldn't tell. Loggeman said he thought that one, I think it was Jeff on the broadcast, said he thought that was on Scobie. Said he thought he kicked it low. I haven't had a good enough look at it going back. But
they're not good enough on offense to give away scoring opportunities.
No, 23-0, by the way. Maybe even if they score that quick one, you're like, all right, we're still up 16 points here.
I think it would have been a little different because they would have had, they weren't going to hurry anymore because they run the up-tempo, but I think they'd have had to throw a little more. You may have had a little better chance to get the pass rush going. But also, in the NFL, we've seen, in this day and age, 23 is not as insurmountable as it was 15 years ago. So I don't know that would have clinched it. Makes it a lot harder.
No, it does, and we were talking about it. I'm rewatching the broadcast here while we're on our breaks, and look, the second half did feel like from Philadelphia, especially after they got that first touchdown from Sproles on basically just a busted play on defense, that the Eagles were playing, saying, look, as soon as we get a lead, this thing is done. They're not going to score on us again. As soon as we get a lead, this thing is done, and that's what all their play calling, everything they were doing was focused on. We don't have to score 40 to win this game. We got to score 21.
Once they got it back to within 10, I think a lot of the stress on them went off.
I agree. And they got it back so quick, and they're like, all right. It was almost like you watch it and you see it, and you're like, okay, we know we can make big plays. So let's go out and make a few more. And had you still been down 16 at that point, I still think that even though you get that quick one, you're still
sure,
fighting
different.
Uphill. Because even if you score, you might be going for two on the next one. What if you don't get it? You're still down 10 at that point after another touchdown. So,
and by the way, for all the fans out there, when I say something like that, that the Eagles felt like if they got to 21, they would win that game, that is a criticism of Chad Henne and what the offense was doing.
Sure.
That watching the game, it felt that way too. They're not going to score again. That's how it felt watching the game in the second half. The Jags aren't going to score. Once this does get to 20, 21 points for Philadelphia, it's over. And that is a problem for them. It's not just Chad Henne. It's the offensive line isn't very good. The receivers weren't getting themselves open. But Chad Henne was part of the problem too.
All right, let's go to Brian up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. Hey, I think the problem, and I know you all have hit on a lot of the points, but the problem to me with Henne, obviously we can point to the bigger throws, the Mercedes Lewis throw, but it's the ball in the dirt to Mike Brown on 3rd and 10 when you had the protection. It's him missing Marquise Lee on, I think, the second field goal drive that Scobie missed on the 3rd down when Marquise Lee is wide open, where he hits him, maybe he goes in for a touchdown, and it's 21-0 instead of 17-0, and it's a total, or 24-0, and it's a totally different feel to that ball game. Those are the issues that I think we have with the quarterbacking situation. Is the bigger throws, the Mercedes Lewis throw obviously was huge, but it's those throws in the third quarter that even if he hits Mike Brown, even if they don't go down and score, your defense isn't off the field in 30 seconds. And maybe you get a stop on the Eagles instead of them turning around and hitting Ertz on the touchdown throw to make it 17-14. It's just, he's the face of the quarterback and mediocrity that we've had here. It's the same feeling you got in 2010 when Garrard overthrew Jason Hill in the Indianapolis game that would have won the division. I think that's what we're frustrated with more than anything. And why we want to see Blake Bortles, because he's shown, and like you said, it is against the 2nd and 3rd team, but he's shown he can make that throw with the throw to Kerry Taylor. He's shown that he can make the frozen ropes. The offensive line played well enough yesterday. I think he's in there. Gerhardt maybe has more holes open. And, one last thing, if I could, I think yesterday was the first day. I'm still a huge Gus Bradley fan, but I think yesterday was maybe the first game where maybe we can raise a couple of eyebrows and say, okay, maybe what was Gus thinking? With putting Todman in over Denard Robinson, who was clearly playing better, with continually running the stretch play with Gerhardt as opposed to between the tackles. So those are just a couple of the things that I think we as Jaguar fans were really feeling. And I'll take your comments off the air.
All right. Look, first of all, if there's a perception that we think that Blake won't be better than Chad Henne, I don't know where that's at all. I don't know how much more clear
we
can be about who we would play at quarterback.
Right. Well, I think there's no question that he has a brighter future. But
I'm even willing to go as far as to say he may play better. Maybe they win, because I think those are valid points.
Yes.
You bounce one to Mike Brown. Maybe he hits Mike Brown on that play. You know, I'm not saying those receivers are more likely to catch those well-thrown balls, but maybe he makes more well-thrown passes. I'm fine with that. I'm not criticizing. That's the thing that I don't get. What are you listening to if you think I am knocking fans who want to see Blake Bortles play? I'm not knocking fans. I want to see Blake Bortles play. I would play Blake Bortles, but I feel there are a few things working here, and one of them is no matter what Chad does, he can throw for 400 yards.
Right.
He didn't throw for 410.
Right.
Trust me, after doing the show now for 4 months, I think there is a genuine willingness to overlook anything positive that Chad Henne did from a majority of the fan base.
And again, no quarterback is going to be able to go an entire game without missing a throw. And there were some throws in the second half missed that were just like we've all seen, just like the people who want to say same old Chad. Those incidents were there yesterday. And at some point, Blake's going to play. It's just not going to be this month. I mean, that's you know, we can say it and say it and say it, but that's how it is.
All right, where are we going next, Lauren? Is it Maurice? Maurice, you're next up on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mike. How y'all doing, man?
Good. What's up?
Hey, not much, man. Mike, the Jaguars defense played kind of mediocre fare in my book. They got the pass rush. They had folks kiss the dirt a couple times in the first half. But it just, for some reason, the Jaguars had a game plan in the first half. But when it came to the second half, they went away from the game plan. I don't know what it was. But Mike, my thing is this right here. The offense has got to be more potent than what it's been in the past. And I'm going to go ahead and take it off the air.
Yeah. It does have to be more potent. I don't know how much the game plan changed. I mean, Tony just pointed out we're in the break. The, came out throwing in the second half.
No, they did.
I mean, and, I think they were in a situation where they didn't feel confident that they could run efficiently. So they threw early in the second half and it didn't work. So is that changing the game plan or is that just not executing? I think it's probably somewhere in the middle.
I don't think the game plan, I don't think they said, hey, we got five sacks on Foles. Let's switch it up. Let's not get any in the second half.
Right. Let's go conservative with the pass rush.
Right. I don't think they got any more aggressive or conservative. It was like, hey, we're having success. And I know what the easy answer is for people to say, hey, you know what? Three and out. Well, early in the second half, you're coming off having a rest. Are you exhausted to start the second half? I mean, there was not nearly as much push in the second half. Maybe the Eagles made some adjustments that the Jags didn't counter. I don't know. You know, that's something I'll rely on Jeff Loggeman tomorrow after watching the tape to see why. But because, look, they're without the starting right tackle to begin the game, just like the Jags were. They lose a Pro Bowl guard in Evan Mathis throughout the course of the game. You would think that the pass rush would have gotten even more ferocious. Mm-hmm. So it was a surprise to me. And I do think there's some validity to when you go three and out, and you start piling those up. But until they pile up, you know, you've had a break at the half. You should be as fresh starting the second half than you've been at any point since practically the start of the first quarter.
And I'm not sure of, and I haven't had time to watch the tape, but did they do things offensively, Philadelphia, where they were able to run some runs to keep them at bay a little bit more? Was that what they were doing to keep the pass rush off? I don't know that yet.
All right, I think we got time for one more. Where are we going, Lauren? Oh, it's Royal Black Man number one. Is this different somehow than the International Black Man number two?
Somebody stole my name on my wife's job, and they've been using it in their football pool.
So you've switched it over now.
I switched out because
Royal sounds like he's an elitist.
So now you're RBM one instead of IBM two.
World Black Man number one.
Oh, World. World. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm the pimp of the whole world.
Pimp of the world.
We might have an elitist on our hands
this morning. What can we do for you, pimp of the world?
I think if Bortles would have came in that second half, we won the game.
Okay.
I don't think the Jazz would have played no harder, no different. I just think Bortles would have been able to make the throws. He'd have been able to get away from the pass rush that Henny couldn't get away from. And when Henny was getting smashed, and that one play where Henny had missed the guy, he should have been looking in a different direction, and he was looking in the wrong direction, and he got smacked down on. Borders would have picked that up, and we would have had a first down on that play. I think if Borders had a play, we'd have won. And I'm just like you. I want to free Blake Borders. I wanted him to play from when he was drafted because I thought we had with Chad Henne. We just ain't got rid of David Garrard. It's like David Garrard is still here. You know me, I was always a staunch Byron Leftwich fan, and I still think that Dave Byron's better than David.
Pimp of the world. Let's not bring up the whole
Start Byron
saga again. Let's bring him back. I think he's available right
now.
Play
the wind up.
Look. You can feel however you like about it. There's no way to know. I mean, and I understand everyone's feeling because they feel like we know exactly what we're going to get from Chad Henne. We're going to get maybe some good. We're going to get more bad than we're going to have good. And I don't think you're crazy to think that Blake would play better, but this play, Blake wouldn't have done that. Hey, you don't know what he would do on any given play. I mean, based on the way you're talking about him, he wouldn't have needed to do that because he would have thrown a touchdown on the previous play. I mean, he's going
right, to
all be
one nothing.
Play drives. Yeah, right.
I mean,
at that point, he's kneeling it out. But look, I get it. But you think, how many times can I say it? I'd play him, okay? I would play him too. I don't have that call. You got to deal with what is happening right now. It's going to come, like you said, John, at some point this season. We don't know when. But anyway. Let's move on. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight today asked you, who or what is the biggest culprit for the Jags' loss yesterday? Wonder if we've got any nominations for that.
Oh, boy.
We will explore when we continue.
Is it unanimous?
It is not unanimous. I'll say that. It is not unanimous. It was split evenly between quarterback play and elitist media. But, you know, probably more like a 51-49 kind of split. Find out who had the 51 and who had the 49 when we return on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey for Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. They've always put out a great product. And when I say always, I'm talking about 58 years of service from the Thompson family right here in Jacksonville. But they've kicked it up a notch with their new Anytime Deli line. The highest quality sandwich products you're going to find anywhere. And you find them in your convenience store cold case. They're right next door to the Dandy Originals. The Anytime Deli. I'm talking about Carving Station roast beef, Southern Fried Chicken breast. All your favorites are there and all the variety you've come to expect from Dandy. Everything's good with bread that's baked locally as well. It's the recipe for a great sandwich. So don't waste your precious time in the drive-thru at lunchtime. Pop into the convenience store. Look for that Anytime Deli line right next to the Dandy Sandwiches and Subs, and you're going to find a variety that is going to keep you coming back time and time again. Do what I do. Make yours a Dandy. If there's a convenience store near you, you know there's one selling Anytime Deli close to you right now, right next to Dandy in the cold case.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Garber Auto Mall, located in Green Cove Springs on Highway 17, just south of Fleming Island, gives you seven all-American brands in one location. Chevy, GMC, Buick, Dodge, Ram, Jeep, Chrysler, and Ford, with interest rates as low as 0% for 72 months and savings up to $10,000. It's worth the drive to Garber Auto Mall. Seven American brands, one location, one salesperson. That is Garber Auto Mall. Ever wondered what seven all-American brands look like from the comfort of your home or work? GarberAutoMall.com can be viewed from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. With GarberAutoMall.com, you can shop from any screen, anywhere, anytime. Once you pick the car or truck you're looking for, just make the short drive to Green Cove Springs on Highway 17, just south of Fleming Island, where we can show you how we beat big city prices every day.
Jack's Federal Credit Union's auto loan rates are 50% lower than the Jacksonville average. It's easy to get pre-approved or refinance your existing auto loan. Plus, anyone in Northeast Florida can join. Visit jacksfcu.org today.
Hello, I'm Bill Harrell. Call Harrell & Harrell 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for a free consultation. Helping people, that's what we do. That's our job. Harrell & Harrell. Don't settle for less than you deserve.
Is your home's foundation letting you down? Do you have exterior and interior wall cracks, sloping floors, and sticking doors? Is your foundation cracking? The engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full-service foundation repair experts. Let Foundation Professionals find the solution, work with your insurance company, and give you back the peace of mind that your home is safe. Financing is available. Call 287-2690. That's 287-2690. Fully licensed and insured. Foundation Professionals of Florida.
Hello, this is Father Nicholas Lowe. Friends, life can be full of challenges. Sometimes what we hoped or prayed for didn't work out. And oftentimes we can think that God is punishing us or forgetting about us. But those are the devil's lies. My encouragement is to turn off the devil's lies and turn to God's truths. Stay the course, knowing that whatever comes against you is not greater than the awesome God who is inside of you.
For more inspiration, log on to stjohnthedivine.com.
Sneaker Sports Grill off 295 in Bay Meadows has all your favorite NFL, college games, and the ultimate fighting events at no cover and the largest TV screens in town. Book your next corporate gathering or large party at Sneakers for a great time. Thursday night is team trivia, Wednesdays it's bar bingo, and Mondays is all you can eat. Join Sneakers VIP Key Club for everyday drink specials, $2 Bud bottles. Stop fighting the town center traffic. Visit Sneakers near the intersection of Bay Meadows and 295. Sneakers Sports Grill.
Jacksonville's other sports team, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Imagine having an emergency without a phone. Your car won't start and you're late for work. How do you call your job to let them know where you are? Or call school to let them know you won't be there to pick up your child? AT&T knows some Americans face life without the comfort and security of a phone every day. And that's why AT&T offers Lifeline, which provides reduced monthly phone rates and optional toll blocking at no extra charge to families who qualify. Additional discounts may apply to those living on federally recognized tribal lands. Get the peace of mind that comes with a reliable and affordable phone. Lifeline from AT&T. To find out more, call AT&T at 1-800-288-2020 or visit att.com/lifeline if you have access to the Internet. Lifeline is a government benefit program, and willfully making false statements to obtain this benefit is punishable by fine or imprisonment and could result in termination of Lifeline service. Lifeline enrollment requires certain eligibility documentation and is non-transferable. Limited to one discount per household, AT&T service is not available in all areas. Other restrictions apply.
At this year's company party, give your employees a logoed shirt or jacket. Hardball Creative can put a logo on any item, no matter what it is. Make it a Hardball Fall this year by using only the best. Online at HardballCreative.com.
When you need used auto parts fast, call Rusty Acres, the area's largest resource for used Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury auto parts. Call Rusty Acres at 786-1777. Rusty Acres, 786-1777.
This is Coach Gus Bradley.
Do your job!
Join Jeff Lagerman and me every Thursday night at 6 for the Gus Bradley Show here on the home of the Jaguars, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
The flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, wrapping things up here, Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Jaguars.com, the senior elitist. And Fat Tony, he put his sunglasses on and didn't have them on as the music started playing. He's got them on now. My favorite tweet of the day from @TheReal_RyanDay says, directed at me, "You are a GD idiot. Just stop talking." Says the guy, all he has to do is turn the radio off to make me stop talking. He thinks Twitter will make me stop talking. No, it won't. It's a sports talk show. You're the idiot for listening if you don't like what I have to say. Don't listen. It's that simple. No one's begging you to listen. Stop it. It's I don't understand, John. I'm not gonna deal
with
this.
He's all worked up, Fat Tony.
No, I miss this. I miss this. I feel like I've been too subdued for the last 4 months.
I like worked up Mike Dempsey.
I try to defer to our distinguished panel of co-hosts that we've had in here.
Elitists.
Elitists, mostly. Let's go and take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking Jaguar fans, what drives you today? We said, what drives you crazy about yesterday's loss? Who, whom, what, which was most responsible? Who was the culprit yesterday? Tony, what did we get?
Here's what we got from Christoph, #Jaguars today. Henny, bad decision-making and poor throws in the second half. No long drives, and because of that, the D got gassed.
I want to add as well, receivers not trying as hard because Henny was
He's not going to let this go,
Jackson. I just wanted to add that.
From Eric, we got maybe not the reason for the loss, but losing Sip hurt the coverage. Led to more pass rush from the Eagles, #Jaguars today. From Eric, followed that up. Sorry, meant to say lack of pass rush from the Jags. Totally screwed that tweet up. It's all right, Eric. We forgive you. From @IrishJaguar, the Eagles.
He would have tried harder.
Had he been tweeting a better host.
Right. That's right. From @IrishJaguar, the Eagles for scoring more points than us. #Jaguars today. From DeJags, Henny. It's what he does. Tired of losing, especially that way. #Jaguars today. #5-15 as a starter. #StartBlakeNow. From Pete, we got biggest culprit was the O-line, but how big a target is Lewis to miss 5 yards away? #We need hogs. #Jaguars today. From Brazos, we got putting this one on the coaching. Play calling got very conservative and poor decision on fourth down. Hashtag Jaguars today from Josh. My wife's parents, they left the house at halftime. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag mojo killed. Hashtag it always happens. Hashtag
come on, parents.
Injuries. So he's blaming the in-laws, Josh. That is bold, sir, to blame the in-laws for a loss.
It's bold city.
That's right.
So there you go. Got much of the same on Facebook today. Not converting on third down. Cyprian's injury. Lack of effort from those wide. No, I'm kidding on that one. the people don't. I'm just having some fun here. It's fun. Let's see. Jet Fish and his conservative offense. Henny hands down. Youth. The Utes were running wild yesterday, and more of the same. So we'll award some T-shirts a little bit later on this afternoon.
Tony, you just basically finished watching the game on rewind, right?
Yeah, I got about 6 minutes left on it, yeah.
Conservative or no?
No, I don't think that they were conservative enough coming out in the second half, to be honest with you. Chad Henne, obviously, you could tell early on in the third quarter there wasn't much going on with the passing game. And, again, they had two consecutive drives where they threw it on six plays. Six consecutive plays with an incomplete pass from Chad Henne where they punted twice and took up 50 seconds of the clock and didn't even try to run the ball at that point. I don't know why. But I don't get the sense watching this game.
Maybe one reason
that they were too conservative.
Right. I think the search for answers maybe came up empty. But I don't know if it was too conservative.
Fan feedback spotlight, by the way, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships with the Certified Edge sales event going on for the remainder of September. You can enjoy 1.9% APR up to $1,500 credit on many 2011 and 2012 certified pre-owned BMWs at Tom Bush BMW. I think this is a legit question. Why not more Denard Robinson? Right? Was it three carries?
3 for 8 yards.
And
on a catch.
that one run, you're like, oh, that looks pretty good, right? Did have, right, like you said, had the catch.
I think it's a question for this week, without question.
I think that's a fair question. You're pounding it up in there. You're not getting any push.
Right.
Maybe, you know, when we thought Denard would be a bigger part of the game plan, at least I did going in anyway. So, you know,
I think also when you're, the other side of it is you haven't run very well, and you didn't have a lot of runs to work with. But on the ones you did, I'd be a little surprised if you don't see a little more of him going forward.
Well, beyond the run, throw him those swing passes.
Yeah.
With Philly, we talk about Philly, Sproles, McCoy, Macklin, those are kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, one shot down the field. He's the kind of guy for your team, same thing. Give him a crease, and he's got that rare speed that in the NFL he can run away from people.
And the question is, they kept running those. I mean, Mercedes Lewis caught six passes yesterday, basically all in the same part of the field. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in that flat part. Well, why not have Denard Robinson running to that part of the field instead of Mercedes Lewis if he's catching the ball this year? And he made a pretty good catch on the one that he got, made a guy miss, and got 6 yards out of that play when it really wasn't there to be had. So
it would seem like he earned more.
Yeah, and again, like you said, I mean, it's a question for this week. It's a question that obviously we've gotten from fans a lot here in just the last 24 hours. Why wasn't Denard Robinson more a part of it, especially with Toby Gerhart hurting his ankle the way that he did? I mean, even if he's able to continue playing, he's obviously not 100%. The ankle is obviously an issue, so why are we still pounding him between the guards if we have other options on this team?
And yet in the second half, a couple of pops there from Toby.
Yeah.
Got him going on one drive that didn't end well, but that started to sort of work a little bit in the second half.
So, but again, you talk about
that
conservative
spurt,
the conservative play calling. That's a drive where Allen Hurns got blown up over the middle because they were pushing the ball downfield,
right,
and trying to get into field goal range. I didn't feel
on just a horrible pass in the middle of the numbers by Chad Henne.
Right, I didn't feel like the game plan was conservative at any point for this team. I felt like there was no execution.
Yeah.
Of what was being called.
And by the way, Fat Tony show tonight, 8 to 10?
That's correct. 8 to 10, I'll be on. Obviously, we'll be talking a lot of Jaguars football tonight on the show.
Are you having any elitists on? Or are you going to
Just me.
Are you available?
All right.
Just me.
Let's go to Mike next up here on the phone line, 641-1010. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, man. I would call it blame, but you got to get the defense help, because if you look on the first half, the defense was pretty much tearing them apart. And when you are going against an up-tempo defense like that, the offense got to at least stay on the field for your defense to get some rest. And you keep getting three and out, three and out, three and out, eventually your defense going to get worn out. So you can't blame the defense none at all. And only person you can blame is Henny, because if you can't manage a team to hold a 17-0 lead, like, something's wrong with that. You had a rookie receiver get having 2 touchdowns, 100 yards in the first half, and you still can't move on that. Like, put Bortles
who
in there.
Who threw the ball that he caught for those 100-something yards in the first? I mean,
the kid must have thrown.
Henny wasn't even there for anything positive that happened in this game, right?
And you can't blame the defense a little bit. I mean, Chad Henne didn't blow the assignment
on
those
Josh Evans
plays.
Worn out? And is that why he was standing there staring at Nick Foles after he handed it to Sproles running up the middle? Go watch it. Rewatch it. Was he worn out, or did he make a bonehead play?
Brzezinski had played a quarter.
I don't know that they had. I've gotten that question quite a bit. That the defense wore down. I didn't see a worn down defense second half. First of all, 7 came on the fumble recovery. So you got 27 points. And then you had a 49-yarder and a 68-yarder, which you can't have. I'm not excusing the defense. But it didn't feel like an overly gassed, fatigued defense in the second half.
Some blown assignments.
Yeah, so I think that's different. I think having so many plays, the Eagles gave them so many opportunities
to hit the big one,
to eventually hit a big one, that you would have liked to have them on the field less. But I didn't feel like, I didn't look out there and see a defense that all of a sudden wasn't pursuing LeSean McCoy the same way they had in the first quarter.
It's not ideal to put any defense in the situation when your offense continually goes three and out. No question. But typically worn out, you see that evidenced by, boy, they hand it off 6 times in a row and they're gashing you for 5 to 8 yards a carry every single time, just pushing your guys around because they're physically exhausted. Now, I'm not saying none of that played into it.
Sure.
But I don't think there's a one blanket thing, oh, they were worn out because of this. I mean, yeah, I don't think they were worn out early in the second half when it was 17-0 at that point.
Right.
When they gave up the big play, it was just a, you know, missed assignment, bad play, and it got him.
With Paz and Sip on the sideline.
With a playmaker who can take it to the house if you give him a crack.
As evidence suggests.
What kind of elitist coverage do you have coming up over the next several days?
Oh, probably just a lot of apologies and elitism. I mean, that's sort of what the to-do list.
Apologies for things you've done, or just making excuses for.
Well, I apologize quite a bit at home, so I get that out of the way.
Okay,
but I mean, yeah, we're gonna cover the team, Mike.
You are? You're gonna continue to do that? We're not gonna shut it down.
Soldier on.
At this
John.
Point,
we do have the Gus Bradley press conference in about an hour, so a lot of these things that we're talking about today will be asked of him,
and we will find out what he has to say. And you'll hear that coming up later on this afternoon on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Stick around, XL Primetime coming up next. John, appreciate you.
Is Hacker on primetime today?
He is. I believe he's on primetime today.
A little ultimate fighting.
Perhaps. I don't know.
He's the guy.
I know you're excited about that. And of course, Fat Tony show tonight.
Yeah,
don't
man.
Miss that from 8 until 10 o'clock. Enjoy the Monday Night Football doubleheader as well. And
oh, yeah. I'm looking
will you
forward
be awake
to seeing
for the second
that
half?
Giants
well,
offense,
I'll be awake.
Baby.
Right. I'll go home and catch a couple-hour nap. And then I got a show at 5 o'clock, but I'm done at 7, and then it's doubleheader time.
It's a good night.
I'm still alive at every single one of my fantasy games.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good for 19 weeks.
All bad, 7 of them.
19
I'll see
weeks,
you about 2
and several of them play doubleheaders. See
That's
you online
right.
at 2 a.m. tallying up the scores. That'll do it for us. For John Osier, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, the boys of XL Primetime. And, of course, I'm sorry, Lauren Brooks and Joe Fortunato, lest I forget, the boys of XL Primetime. Up next on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.